scripture reading this morning comes from Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 23. Colossians 1, 19 through 23. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. And you, who once was alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hope everyone's doing really well today. We had a great week last week, and we're looking forward to another one this week. Also, I hope you had a great night's rest last night. And as well, just a few things I'll mention before I get started here in the lesson. Keep in mind there's a bunch of commentaries back there that you can always use. Those are some great content for you that you can use during your Bible studies. And as well, I did put a newsletter back there that we got in the mail for the Global Schools of Biblical Studies. And that's actually the mission trip that I'm about to go on. If you know the Bible Institute of Missouri, that's where I graduated from as far as preacher school goes. So that's actually back there, the newsletter, the current one. You can pick that up and read it, but I do need to make more copies, so I would ask that you would only read it, and then after this, I will try to make more copies of that newsletter. As well, for our visitors, please use visitor cards in the pew in front of you, if you will, but I think it's mostly just members here today and those who are common here, so, but there are those visitor cards, if there are any, so keep in mind those commentaries, and then I'd like to just welcome everyone here today. So what we're talking about today in the book of Colossians, if you've already opened up there, Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 23, we're talking about how we are saved. And how we, of course, as Christians know how we're saved today, and that is by Christ. And all men should know that the only way to salvation is by Christ, Acts 4:12. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21, I will ask you to go ahead and read again with me, but it says there, "And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled," and continuing there I just will, "in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight." So what we need to understand here is that we were once alienated away from God. We were once cut off from God in a sense. We were once unable to have salvation, unable to be able to be in heaven someday. We were once not able to have access to our God who created us. That is a very sad thought. But there are so many in the world today who don't have access to God simply because they do not obey Him. Christians, at one point, you were that way. Romans 3:23, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." We needed Christ. We needed Jesus. We followed the plan of salvation, we followed the steps, we obeyed God, and that's what every man and woman on this earth needs to do to be saved. What this text is saying is all men at one point were in sin. All men. Of course, the innocent children, all children are innocent, they don't know any better. But for us who have able minds, for us, we know better. We know that we should know the difference between right and wrong. And we were lost at one point, and we did need Jesus. And so, of course, we followed that plan of salvation. We were baptized. We were remiss of our sins by being baptized and then added into the kingdom of God. But we need to understand that we were once lost. As far as some history goes, what are we as a people? Are we Jews or are we Gentiles? We are Gentiles, if you didn't already know it. We are Gentiles. So we weren't that chosen people of God. We weren't that chosen nation that was to be a light to the world that you read about in the Old Testament. That was Israel. But we as the church today, we need to understand or to act in that same way. Israel was to be a light to the world. The church today is to be a light to the world. We are the only ones that these people on earth can look to have a way to get to God, to have a way to understand how to be saved. We're the ones that they can look to. You may meet 100 people tomorrow. You may meet 100 people the next day. And guess what? Those people, you might be the only Christian that they ever come in contact with in their entire life. That's a sad thought. That's a very sad thought. There are almost 8 billion souls on this planet. 8 billion souls in desperate need of a Savior. In desperate need of being able to get to heaven. All those people need that same salvation, Christians, that you have. And if you're not a Christian, you have to get that salvation. You have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You have to repent of your sins, confess that Jesus is the Son of God, be baptized. For us as Gentiles, we did not have a way of salvation beforehand. We would have to have become proselytes and become a part of... Some people say that the patriarchal laws would have continued as well as the Mosaic law, and that could be the case. But people would have to become proselytes, and they would have to, like the city of Nineveh in the book of Jonah, they repented, they turned to God. And it could be that they followed the Mosaic law, that is the law of Moses, the Old Testament law. That's likely the case. But it also could be that the patriarchal laws could have also carried on. Because ultimately, that Old Testament law, that whole thing, in a way, was together. And then until Christ came, then that would have the New Testament law. It could be either way, but ultimately, they still needed a Savior. Because here's the fact. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. I want you to read something with me. This is very important. I need you to understand this. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. Don't get caught up in all that Old Testament law stuff. Hebrews 10, 1 through 4. Read it with me. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. Verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers once purified would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. All those bulls and goats, those sacrifices that they would do in the Old Testament, the slaying of even the birds that they would slay as far as the law of God goes in that time, all those sacrifices that they did, that they performed for God, did they take away sin completely? No, they did not. Read in verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Do you know what that means? That means that they needed something, didn't they? They needed something that could take away sins, that could take away the reminder of sins as well. They needed a Savior. Christians, friends, Jesus did not come just to save the people that will live after Him. He also came to save the people that lived before Him. The Jews, the Israelites, they were looking towards a Messiah all their lives. Do you know why? Because the Messiah was to save man for all time, for all ages. That ultimate blemish of sin would not be fully taken away without the perfect sacrifice of Jesus. The blood of bulls and goats would not fully take away that sin. So we all needed Christ. All those people who lived beforehand, before Jesus, they needed Christ. They may not have lived according to the New Testament law, but they still lived according to the law of God at the time. Whether it was the patriarchal law, whether it was the law of Moses, they still lived according to the law of God that God appointed for them at that time. But they still needed Christ. They needed that perfect sacrifice. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 22. Let's go back to our main text. Read it again. In the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. We could not be above reproach in God's sight without Christ. Christ is the only reason that we can be that we can be blameless, that we can be holy before God, that we can be completely depart, completely washed as white as snow. You don't see that in the Old Testament. You don't see that after a sacrifice of a bull or a goat, after that they were washed as white as snow. No. It's almost in the New Testament as if those sins were rolled forward unto the New Testament. And then whenever Jesus came, that's whenever those sins would be fully remissed. But obeying God in the Old Testament, that's what mattered. That's what God wanted them to do. But I want you to understand, Christians and friends, that Jesus would die for all men of all time. Jesus came to save the world being all men, all women of all time, John 3:16. Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 5 through 10. I'll ask you to read that with me as well. Hebrews 10, 5 through 10. Therefore, when He came into the world, He said, this is Jesus talking, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come, in the volume of the book it is written for me, to do your will, O God. Verse 8, previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We see from these verses that even people in the Old Testament needed who? They needed Christ. They needed a sanctification through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. All men, all women of all time, they needed a Savior. Those people in the Old Testament, in the patriarchal age, Noah, Adam, all those different people, they needed a Savior. They have the same Savior as you have. That's Jesus. That's because it was promised to the seed of Abraham that Jesus would come to this earth and save all of mankind. It was promised through that seed. And guess what happened? He did it. He came. And we have to do one thing. Obey Him. Follow after His commandments, John 14, 15. If we love Him, we will obey His commandments. That's the command that we have. Revelation 22, 14 is another text we can look at. Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they have the right to eat of the tree of life and then enter into the gates of that city. The city being what? Heaven. Blessed are those who do His commandments. Otherwise, no, we won't enter into the gates of that city. But what we need to understand is that Jesus Christ came to save all of mankind. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5. What does it say there? And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins. And in Him there is no sins. Who is that talking about? That's talking about Jesus. In Him there is no sin. There was no sin. If you read in Matthew 4, 1 through 11, you read of an account where Satan himself directly tempted Jesus. Directly. Right there in front of Jesus' face, Satan tempted Him. Did Jesus ever fall in all three categories of sin? Pride of life, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. All three, Jesus did not fall into temptation. Jesus proved Himself all throughout His life to be completely perfect, to be completely without blemish, and that's what He wants of us as well. He came to die for us in that way, in that perfect way, so that He could be the perfect sacrifice for us all. So that He could be the perfect sacrifice for all men and women of all time. It had to be that way. God required it. So Jesus came to do the will of His Father. And that certainly was His food, as He said as well. 2 Corinthians 5:21, another verse we can look at. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. He didn't have sin. Jesus was without spot. He was without blemish. We need to understand that we can't be perfect like Jesus was. We're not God. We can't be perfect. He understands that. God understands that. But what we do need to be doing is what? Striving for perfection. We need to be always trying to do our best to be like Christ, to be like God. We need to be doing our best to have full godliness in our lives, to be focused spiritually on things in our lives, not just always focusing on the physical things of life. We need to be thinking like God, focusing on the ways of God, the truthful ways of God. Otherwise, what are we except just another animal of the world? If we're nothing, if we don't have a soul, if we don't focus on God, what are we? What are we? We're as good as an animal. If we don't accept that we have our soul, if we don't follow God in our lives and then go to heaven with Him in the end, we're nothing. We're nothing. We're as good as dead. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. We're as good as nothing. So don't be like that. Don't let people tell you that you're as good as a monkey. That's disgusting. I think that's the most disgusting thing you could ever say. That man is like a monk. That man is from monkeys. That's what evolutionists say. We're not. We're not. We're from God. Man is made in the image of God. Go back to the book of Genesis. It's not hard to figure out. We have morality. We have all these amazing functions in our body. We have the universe around us. To look at His invisible attributes, it's not difficult to know that there is a God. Amen? Amen to that. It's not difficult to know there is a God. There is absolutely a God, friends. You have to know that. And Christians, if you start to doubt that, that is the silliest thing you could do as a Christian. You're going back to the foundational things. Don't let that happen. Satan is trying to take you down. There is a God. There is a devil. There is a heaven. There is a hell. There is a spiritual realm outside of this one, outside of this physical realm. How do you think all of this is here? By chance? No, it's not here by chance. It's here because of something from a spiritual realm. Because of God who was perfect, who can make everything perfect how it needed to be. And it was until sin showed up. Until the devil showed up. And sin from the beginning. It was our fault. It was the devil's fault that sin entered the world. It wasn't God's fault. And we shouldn't blame God for it. We shouldn't. But of course, people do that all the time today. John 8:24, we have the first step in the plan of salvation. We have the hearing of the gospel. And Romans 10:17 is another part of that. But Jesus came and He set up this plan of salvation. You don't find every step of the plan of salvation in one verse. You don't. But you know what you do find? You find every step of the plan of salvation throughout the entirety of the New Testament Scriptures. Do you know why? Because we follow the entirety of the New Testament Scriptures. Not one verse, not one chapter, not one book of our selection. We follow the whole New Testament. That's what we follow, Christians, friends. If you choose to follow one book, that's your own fault. That's not God's fault. That's not my fault. If I choose to do that, that's my fault. We have to follow the whole plan of God, the whole plan of salvation. Of course, the next step, repent, belief in God. John 8:24 goes with that, belief in God, belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then Luke 13:3, it requires a repentance of sin, that we be saved in the end. We must repent of our sins and we must confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32. In Mark 16:16, we also must be baptized. Baptism is a requirement for salvation. It's a requirement. It's not a choice. It's not, well, it is a choice whether you do it or not. But it's not something we can just choose not to do and then expect to be saved. Think about the Old Testament. All those sacrifices that the priests would do. We're going to be talking about the priesthood quite a bit tonight. So I hope you do show up tonight. We're going to be talking about it. It's going to be very interesting. God's holy priesthood. But think about all those sacrifices that the priests would do. All those sacrifices that Israel would do. All those things that they would have to do for God. All those laws that they would follow. If you go through the Pentateuch, you just find law after law after law after law. And it's like tedious reading. There's so many laws. There's a law over here and over there. It's like, whoa, there's so many laws. But they had to follow every one of them. Every one. And none of those laws could compare to what Jesus would do. None of those laws could compare to the sacrifice that Jesus would make. None of those sacrifices. Jesus had to come. All of those things had to be done. What I'm trying to say is in the Old Testament, they had to do everything that God commanded. In the New Testament, what do we have to do? Everything that God commanded. We don't get to pick and choose. If we want salvation, friends, we got to do it God's way. If we don't do it God's way, can you expect salvation? No. You won't have salvation. Because blessed are those who do His commandments. But outside of the liars, outside of those who are unbelieving, outside of those who are idolatrous, who practice adultery and all those different sins, those are the ones who are outside of heaven. And do you know where the outside of heaven is? You know what that means? That's hell. That's the terrible place of hell, the lake of fire and brimstone, Revelation 21:8. That's where that's found. The lake of fire and brimstone. I don't want to be there. I don't want you to be there. I don't want anyone around this world to be there. To be suffering for eternity in a lake of fire, your spirit just sitting there burning forever, cut off from God. Can you imagine how horrible that is? Now think about heaven. Eternity with God. Paradise. Streets of gold. Gates of a city that are pearls, that are jewels. Mansions that you live in. That's how it's described. That's what Jesus gives to His children, to His who are His own, His followers. We won't get that if we choose our own way. But if we choose God's way, if we choose to do it the way that Jesus set out, the plan of salvation, if we choose to be baptized, to carry out all those steps that we just talked about, and then to remain faithful unto death, Revelation 2:10, we will have that crown of life. And what that means is we will have heaven in the end of this life. When you close your eyes for the last time, you will open them in a city so bright. You will open them in paradise. And when the judgment day comes, we will all go to heaven together. All of us children of God. All of us. But if you don't follow God's commandments, if you don't follow Him with your heart, with your soul, with your spirit, with your mind, if you don't follow God with all of those things, if you're doing this today to fill a pew, if you're sitting here today just because someone told you to, that's not going to get you to heaven. How do you get to heaven? John 4:23-24. We get to heaven by worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth. And what that means is by His commandments and with the heart. And with the heart means with genuineness, with sincerity. Otherwise, we're doing it for nothing, friends. For nothing. We have to be meaning this worship today. As you sing these songs of praise, as you partake of the Lord's Supper here in a moment, as you pray to God, as you listen to this sermon, get your mind off of physical things. Stop thinking about where you're going to eat after this. Think about God. Focus on God and on spiritual things. Focus on what really matters. What is your life? What is your life? How much time do we have? Our lives are but a vapor. In your life, choose first to focus on God and make these times of worship so special in your life, so amazing to you. Don't make them something you just blow off and you just show up to because you have to or because you can or whatever. No, you do it because you love God and you want to serve Him. That's why we're here, because we love our Creator. We want to do His will. We want to do what's right. We don't want to follow Satan. You know why? Because He wants us to die. Satan wants us all to go to hell. You want to follow Satan? If you go in the ways of sin, you will be following Satan. But if you don't, you'll be following God. And God wants you to live. He wants you to have eternal life. Take that way. Don't let Satan get you. Colossians 1:23. Let's go back to our main text, make a couple more things, and then we'll be finished. Colossians 1:23. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So what we need to understand here is that after we learn that Jesus is the ultimate way of salvation, that Jesus is the one who came and died for us, the Son of God, God Himself, He came and died for us, for all mankind of all ages, so that we can have opportunity to be saved. So we can have the opportunity to go to heaven. Jesus came and did that. He could have, of course, stopped it on the cross. He could have called the legions of angels. He's God. He had every right. Had He ever sinned? No. Jesus never sinned. He had every right to stop that cross scene. Every right. But you know what He didn't do? He didn't stop it. He went through with it. And He became sin for us. And He died on the cross for us, as the book of Hebrews says. He died for us so that we can be saved. For all mankind. Because those bulls and goats could not save man. They could not take away those sins. They rolled them forward. Even they needed Jesus. They looked toward a Messiah all the time. That was in their prayers. That was in their minds. They looked forward to a Messiah. Even in the patriarchal age, looked forward to a Messiah. It was all about Jesus all throughout time. Even before the foundation of the world in the book of Ephesians, Jesus was planned. The church was planned. All of these things were planned by God because God is perfect. It's up to us, Christians, friends. It's up to us. We have the choice today as to whether or not we will follow God. As we just said in Revelation 21:8, and I will read it for you. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their parts in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Are you one of those? Are you one of those? Are you afraid to speak the name of Jesus? Are you afraid? The If somebody asks you today, are you a Christian? Yes. Where do you what church, what organization are you a part of? Well, I'm from the New Testament church, the Church of Christ. I'm from the church you read about in the Bible. Do you say that? What do you say? Do you say I'm from another denomination? Because friends, we're not from a denomination. We're the New Testament church. We do it the exact same way they did. Same way. That's why we do everything that we do. We do it the same way that they did it in the first century. The same way that we were taught in the gospel accounts, in the epistles, in the book of Revelation. Same way. When somebody asks you, what church are you a member of? What church are you part of? You say, I'm part of the Church of Christ. And the Church of Christ is the New Testament church because we follow every single command and example that is given in the New Testament. That's what you say. You don't say we're a denomination because we're not. That's not true. We didn't denominate from anything. We didn't separate from anything. People separated from us. They separated from God because of their own choices. But guess what choice we have? We can choose to stay with the ways of God, or we can choose to go with the ways of the devil. We can choose to go with the ways of man. Which way will you go? I'll choose the ways of God, because He's the one who's going to get me to heaven, not some man or woman. God's going to get us to heaven. Focus on what really matters in life, Christians and friends. Focus. Keep your mind always trained first on God and on the things of God. 1 John 5:11-13. I'll read this last text and then we'll be finished. 1 John 5:11-13. Read it with me. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. If you're a Christian today, if you're a faithful Christian, I don't want you to question whether or not you're going to heaven. You should know you're going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. You know why? Because I know I'm remaining faithful. Yeah, I mess up. And you do too. But Christians, we do our best to remain faithful. That's what it's about. Jesus came and He was sin for us. He was perfect. He offered Himself as a perfect sacrifice. We didn't have to do that, and we couldn't do that. Jesus defeated that for us. He defeated Satan. We couldn't do that. So what do we have to do? The best we can. James 1:12, endure through temptation, and you'll get that crown. You'll get heaven. You'll walk through the gates of that city. You'll walk down the streets of gold. You'll have a mansion if you remain faithful unto death. After following the plan of salvation, if you're not a Christian, we talked about the plan of salvation. It was given in this lesson. If you are interested in becoming a Christian, don't be interested just because some man told you to. Be interested because you really believe it. Because you really believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that the words you're reading from these accounts are the truth. And that the miracles you read about are the truth. All of this that took place all throughout this history that is given here is true. And that everything revolves around Christ, because it does. Old and New Testaments, everything revolved around Christ. Even before the world was made, it revolved around Christ coming and dying for us. We all need Him. We need Jesus. There's no other person that can give us salvation. We have to understand that. Don't go to a man. Don't go to a woman. Go to God. Follow the ways of God, not the ways of man. Don't get caught up in what they tell you anymore. Follow God. Don't get caught up in man. The ways of tradition, the ways of the devil. It will take you down, Christians. Be careful. Be careful in your everyday life. If you have any need this morning, if you're not a Christian, you must become one. Now is the day of salvation. If you sincerely believe Jesus is the Son of God and want to carry out the rest of that plan of salvation, do so today. If you are a Christian, we would encourage you to come to the front if you have any need at this time. Physical, mental, spiritual. If you need prayers, even for a loved one, please come to the front and let us pray with you. It's not a shameful thing to come to the front and sit in this pew. I will do it myself if I have to make others do it. I will do it myself, and I have before. I will. I will sit in that pew right there. And Bruce or Leon will come up and ask me what my need is. And if you have a need this morning, I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to do that. Please come to the front as together we stand and sing.